Welcome to The Crooked Climb with Suzanne and Denise. Life and business are not linear. Let's get moving with honest, reliable, and unbiased information you can use to master life and business. We've all experienced life's ups and downs. In this show, Suzanne and Denise are committed to moving onward, upward, and most of all, learning from the biggest challenges we face in life and business. Join in the conversations with experts in their respective fields of health, wellness, personal development, fitness, and fun. And that's not all. Your path to self-mastery starts here. No climb is a straight line. Goals are achievable with clear targets. The ascent begins now.
All righty. Hello, everyone. Happy Friday. Welcome to The Crooked Climb with Suzanne and Denise. This is a podcast like no other. Why? Because after our podcast, you can join in on our live audience and ask your questions to our guests, maybe get some love seat coaching, and engage in true, honest, and meaningful information and conversation. I'm Denise Stiegel. I'm the Denise part of Suzanne and Denise. And Suzanne, you're here with us today, aren't you?
I am, but I am traveling for business today. So I am off camera, but I am here totally 100%. Welcome everyone to The Crooked Climb. And we have a really special guest today. I am so excited to introduce my friend, one of my mentors, Mark Melahusky, today. We have known each other since high school. And in the real world, Mark is in HR, but in his alter ego, he is a fitness junkie just like me. And he has been doing functional fitness and movement for, let's just say, more than 20 years. And welcome, Mark. Say hello to our audience today.
Thank you. I appreciate you ladies having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for being with us. So for our audience, let me just kind of touch about, you know, physical fitness. Like, what does fitness mean to people? You know, does it mean that you're thin? Does it mean that you weigh a certain amount? Does it mean you're strong? Obviously, it means a little bit of all of that, but physical fitness obviously is more about that state of health and well-being, but more importantly, your ability to perform daily activities. And this is really where I want to talk to you. I'm really excited to talk to you because obviously, you know, we're eating right and we're getting enough sleep and we're exercising, but are we doing the right exercises to really benefit us today, but also that's going to help us as we're getting older?
Yeah, and I see. Go ahead, Mark.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I think you really hit on an important topic of functional fitness. And you alluded to it. You know, I define functional fitness as it's a measure of how capable you are of dealing with everyday demands on your body and your mind. A lot of people leave the mind part out.
Good point.
Yeah, and that's definitely one of the things we address often here on The Crooked Climb, is that mindset is really a huge part of everything. Eating healthy, taking better care of yourself, getting older, personal development, and fun. Mindset is a huge piece of it. And one of the questions I had specifically in related to fitness as we get older is functional movement is really defined as what, Mark? Maybe you could help us with that.
I think it's functional movement is you need to practice those exercises that incorporate full body movements using all your muscles in all planes of motion. Basically using your body how it was designed to by evolution to survive the capabilities of everyday life.
So what does that mean for somebody, you know, in their 50s and who sits most of the day at work? What does functional movement or exercise look like to somebody like that?
For that, everybody's got different goals. I think people should just strive to move in full ranges of motion and pain-free ranges of motion. We all don't need to be Wonder Woman or the Hulk. We all don't have the genetics for that. Mm-hmm. But we're all very capable of controlling our bodies and having better full ranges of pain-free motion. You know, especially as we get older. I'm in my 50s. All of my personal records of weightlifting and every other strength thing is way back in the past. I'm more concerned now with having a decent foundation of strength, moving in full ranges of motion, and pain-free so I can enjoy my daily life and advance my quality of life as I get older.
So it's interesting because I'm with you. Like a lot of the things that I used to do in my 20s and 30s, I can't do anymore. It doesn't feel good. But those are activities that, you know, that I learned from a young age, you know, running and, you know, doing some of these boot camps and all of those things. And I'm realizing as I'm almost 50, like 18 days away, that I can't do that anymore. And to be honest, I'm not really sure what I should be doing. Can you help me out?
Once again, I think it's all an individual basis. Everybody brings different qualities to the table and everything. So I've heard every goal is manageable, and there's no wrong goals. I mean, some people come to me and tell me, hey, I want to lose weight. Hey, I want to get strong. Hey, I want to run that mud race or that marathon and stuff like that, you know? And I just tell them, I say, temper your expectations and just stick with the foundational movements. So I have foundational movements here. I'll go over real quick and everything like this just so people understand what I mean by functional fitness. So first thing is you need to do a hinging movement with your hips. That includes doing things like maybe like a form of a deadlift maneuver, things of that nature. Now, you don't have to do it with extremely heavy weight. It's the movement that matters. Everybody's going to have different capabilities, what they can lift or what different exercises to do. I happen to like doing kettlebell swings myself, you know, so, you know, that's great for the hips. A basic squat. Everybody should know how to do a basic squat, you know, whether loaded or unloaded. You know, I do a lot of body weight squats. I still maintain my strength, and a lot of people have grown very strong just doing body weight squats. You don't need to load your back up or, you know, go into any, loading up your joints or anything, especially as we get older. I love to preserve my joints as I get older. So it's a challenge, but, you know, it can be done. You need some type of pulling exercise, like a row, you know, or pulling something from the ground up. You know, we need to keep that movement in. You need mobility drills. You need like I do a lot of stick mobility, shoulder mobility, things of that nature. This gives you your full ranges of motion. You need to do multi-plane motions. I don't know if you ever heard of a kettlebell get-up, things of that nature, where you're getting down from the ground with a weight in your hands or even a water bottle and putting it overhead. So the motion of getting up and down from the ground is what a lot of people forget about as we get older. You know, that's what we used to do as kids. You know, that's what we need to get back to, you know, and you'll enjoy yourself and you'll see big results on that. Weighted carries, something as simple as carrying something around like a farmer's walk. Yeah. You know, carrying two weights around, two water jugs. I happen to like it, not the great outdoors. I run around outdoors. I carry logs around, you know, so what, no matter what you got available, it'll work. Your body don't know the difference. You don't need to be in a gym. You know, you can do this outside, especially during COVID, but everybody's cramped in and couldn't get to the gym. You know, I just plastered all over my site what you can do, you know, outside of the gym, functional movement. Another big thing is crawls. You know, once again, getting back to when we were children, getting up and down from the ground, doing bear crawls, crab walks, all the fun stuff we used to do as a kid, but it was fun, but it was functional. And it builds strength and stamina. You know, when I put people through bear crawls or crab walks or whatever like that, they look at me like I'm crazy until they do them and everything. And they're out of breath, and it strengthens them up and everything.
And the last thing I'll throw in, I remember doing those in elementary school.
Some type of a sprint. Now, I'm not saying we need to run like crazy or anything like that, but as I get older, I think about, you know, I want to be prepared for an emergency. I think it's everybody's civic duty to have just enough help to be prepared for an emergency. Say you need to run from an emergency, you know, doing sprints once a week or every 10 days just to stay connected to it, you know, it can save your life. It saves your pet's life if you need to carry them out of danger. It can save your spouse's life. It can save your kid's life or whatever. I think a lot of people, you know, neglect that. You know, they don't think about that, you know, getting yourself out of emergencies and everything. You may have the mental capacity for it, but if you can't get away out of a flood, a fire, things of that nature, I mean, these things happen. So those are my basic pillars of movements for functional fitness. I mean, we only have a short time here, Denise and Sue. So, you know, I have this all over my website and everything with examples and everything like that. I don't want to take up too much of your guys' time, but I just wanted to give you an idea of what movements are on there. So you get the movements down and then you just layer exercises on top of those movements.
I think it's fun that you mentioned the bear crawls and the crab crawls. I remember doing those in like elementary school, in gym class. And you're right. It was fun. And we used to laugh about it. Like if you couldn't get all the way through across the room, you know, you'd fall on your butt and you would laugh, but you'd get up again and keep going. And it really wasn't until this our conversation, when you said that I actually remembered enjoying that and how much fun that was. And I think that's a part of, you know, we talk about movement as opposed to exercise because nobody really loves to exercise. Okay, maybe my husband does. He's a marathon runner, so he loves to run. But he's an anomaly. But when you think exercise, you know, people go, oh, yeah, I got to go to the gym, or, oh, yeah, I know I got to move more. But when you say movement, and you've mentioned all of these functional movements, there are things that we do, well, maybe not bear crawls, but we do most of these things every day.
Yeah, and I think that's really the key, is moving more and taking those opportunities to move and adding in some functional fitness to it. For example, most people that pull out their lower back do so while removing something from their trunk. Now, think of the trunk of their car. And think about that movement for a second. You're bending at the hip, and then you're reaching in front of you to pull something out towards you and up all at the same time. Mm-hmm. And that movement is not something people practice on a regular basis. But if you add functional movement into your routine, that's actually something that's pretty common as far as functional movement goes. So, you know, I think, you know, as we need to, or having a more sedentary lifestyle than, you know, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, we need to remember that adding in those opportunities to move, it's not just walking, that you need to bend over and touch your toes or touch the floor, sit down on the floor and stand up. I mean, how many of our listeners can sit down on the floor without holding on to something and stand back up without holding on to something?
Right, and like I get up that Mark just mentioned. I remember doing those a couple of years ago, and at first it was actually really hard. Now, granted, I had a weight in my hand, but I hadn't done that type of movement in a long time. Very true. I think what's important to mention too is, you know, as we're talking about these exercises, and Mark, you mentioned all sorts of exercises. I think the point here is you're training your muscles, your kind of your upper body and lower body, but also that that core stability in all of the exercises you've mentioned. There's really some core stability work there as well.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm seeing. And talk about a little bit more of that, like why that's important.
Well, your core drives your body. You know, that's why, you know, you do total body exercises. So all those movements I just mentioned, you're absolutely right. They all involve the core. I advocate, I always tell people, you train your body in one piece, not in isolation.
I love
that. If you go to any local gym, things of that nature, you'll see people doing bicep curls. They're on the leg curl. You know, they're doing the body a disservice. You know, because they're training it in isolation. Our body's meant to be, our body moves in one piece throughout the day, no matter what task we're doing. So why not train it as one piece, you know? So everything I do is a full body exercise, or I consider it a waste of time. I mean, unless you're a professional bodybuilder, if that's your bag, then yeah, go ahead, train in isolation. But, you know, that's not the healthiest way to live your life either. But I'm not going to bag on those guys or anything like that, you know, but, you know, I just train for a healthy lifestyle and longevity. And to me, training in the body in one piece instead of isolation is the way to go.
I think that's important, that whole body exercise. Because when you said that going to the gym and people are just doing, you know, kind of curls, and I'm guilty. I catch myself even when I'm home, you know, I'm just standing there. Maybe I'm watching TV and I've got, you know, I'm doing some curls or I'm doing something else and not really paying attention. So here's a question: to make those curls more functional and to provide some core stability, would I stand on one foot or a stability ball? Like, would that work? Is that something that you would recommend?
It depends on what you're trying to achieve. It's that wouldn't be what I would go for or advocate to people. But once again, if people like doing that, I'm not going to argue with them. You know, it's a big world. Everybody's got their opinions or whatever. But, you know, I can only tell you what I do and how I've succeeded at 56 years old. So, you know, I could do things that people half my age can't do. So I look at it this way, you know, what I'm doing something right for me and everything like that. So instead of curls, like you're saying, individual, I would work my arms by doing chin-ups, because now it's a more full body exercise. Okay. Even if you don't have the strength to do one chin-up, you can still do the motion. You could regress it by using bands, things of that nature, jumping up and then doing a negative, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. You're still getting the full benefit of a full body motion there with that, instead of, you know, just an isolation of that. But I'm not bagging on curls. I mean, curls, I mean, they'll work if you want bigger biceps or whatever like that. But like I said, I'd rather have a functional body than, you know, looking at some big biceps or whatever. But, you know, ironically, by training functionally, my biceps have never been bigger. So there's a catch 22 to it, you know.
But that's a good catch 22. So I have a question.
Yeah.
So how did you go from what you were doing when you were in your 20s and your 30s and into your 40s to where you are today? Where was that transition, or how did that transition happen?
Well, the transition was pain. I did everything wrong when I was younger. There was no internet or anybody to learn from. I was 12 years old in my garage with cement filled weights purchased from Sears out of the catalog, and just doing what all the other kids in the neighborhood, and doing those curls and goofy stuff on the bench press or whatever like that, you know, until I started to meet people who had greater skills than me, and I listened to them, and, you know, it's all before the internet. So, I mean, it's been a journey or whatever like that. So I made it my journey to, you know, I identify people with skills greater than my own who are older than me, and I learn from them. Because I want to be where that person is older than me. That tells me they know what they're doing. They have a body older than me who's walked the planet, and they have joints and this and that and the other thing that they've used. So they must be doing something right. So all of my mentors are older than me, stronger than me, and they're living a high quality of life and everything. Some of these guys and gals are in their 70s or whatever, and over in circles around people. So that's who I learned from. But how I got there was, believe me, a lot of trial and error, a lot of pain, a lot of experimentation on myself that didn't work and everything. But thank God I didn't get too injured or anything, but I just kept failing forward, as they say. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's perfect. When you said about mentors, I was thinking Jack LaLanne. That's who I had in my head.
That guy, everybody treats that guy as a joke and it's that thing, but that cat knew his stuff. Mm-hmm. You go and look at his 1950s chalkboard teachings of what not to eat. He was telling you not to eat sugars and simple carbs and all this stuff, you know, 60 years before, you know, people were making million-dollar livings off of that advice and everything. So that dude was the real deal.
I agree. So what, you had something to ask?
I just wanted to mention, you know, double movement. And my question was, you know, so if doing a bicep curl and doing a squat at the same time while engaging your core, is that considered functional? Is that considered whole body? You know, if I'm doing, you know, those compound movements that involve 2, 3, 4 muscle groups, does that count as functional movement?
I like that. But you know what I would add to that to make it even more functional? I would hold the dumbbell or a kettlebell. I'd do the squat or like a curl and then do an overhead press with it.
Mm.
You've just done a great functional movement.
So you're getting into the other planes of movement by going over your head. Yeah, I like that.
Right, because you're basically activating everything with that, or some mm-hmm. variation thereof of it, you know.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. When you talk planes, we always kind of walk front and back. What about working side to side?
Oh, yeah, rotational training is very important, too. A lot of people don't do it, and they're like, even me, I don't like doing it that much. I just force myself into it because it's good. But yeah, I just stick with two things I do for rotational. I'll do sandbag rotational lunges. And it's tough for me here. I don't have an example to do it and everything. But you're dealing in different planes of motion. You're lunging back with a sandbag from side to side, things of that nature. If the people want to see any examples and everything like this, they can go to my YouTube channel or my blog post or whatever. I go into detail. Unfortunately, you know, I don't want to bore you describing it. You know, a picture's worth 1,000 words or whatever like that. But,
well,
you know,
that's one
of my go-to things there. And there's probably tons of other exercises to do rotational. You know, I like doing some ground work with like some half get-ups and things of that nature, you know, with a kettlebell or a light dumbbell. But, you know, I'm not crazy on variety. I think people sabotage their goals by chasing variety too much. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the day, if you really want to get in shape, you got to identify a few good exercises and bite the bullet and do them and get some results or whatever like this. Once you get that foundation, then go for your variety and get going. Okay. But I find a lot of people get frustrated with that. They chase variety. It's like going to a Baskin Robbins and you got 35 flavors to choose from and people just stand there staring at the board or whatever like that, you know? So same thing with exercise selection. You got to pick the best ones, you know, the most bang for your buck.
Keeping it really simple, keeping it really grounded. And we're about out of time, and I want to have Mark share where people can find him, his website, his YouTube channel, and then we're going to take it into our studio audience. If anybody has any questions for Mark or any comments, we would love to address.
Sure. If you want to see how I stay in shape and the concepts I write in my blog post or in my YouTube channel, you can go to 7starsfitness.com or 7starsfitness YouTube. I guess just plug it into YouTube and it'll come up. But, you know, and I demonstrate that everything I do, I'm a product of my own advice. As I tell people, if you see value in it, take it and run with it, steal it from me. If not, go do your own thing. So, you know, I can go either way. You know, I get good comments, I get bad comments, and I don't take offense to either.
Awesome.
I'm 56 years old and I'm doing pretty good with the, you know, being a product of my own advice.
Well, you look great. And thank you so much for joining us. I'm looking forward to moving into our studio audience because we are almost out of time. Every week, guys, we have another diet, another workout program, another something. You can spend hours on the internet and thousands of dollars and still feel stuck. That's what we're here for at the Crooked Climb. You really need something that's simple, that's easy, that's focused. What is that? Nourish, move, be. Okay, so we're about to go into our live studio audience so we can go deeper. If you have questions for Mark, for Sue or I, once we go in there, we're going to ask you right now, everyone's got their camera off. Once we go in, we will turn cameras on and we will ask questions there. Those for those of you who aren't joining us, catch us here every second and fourth Friday of the month at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll see you on the flip side.
Thank you for tuning in to The Crooked Climb with Suzanne and Denise. Life and business are not linear. Your go-to solution for honest, reliable, and unbiased information you can use to master your life and business. To connect with Suzanne, visit thetailoredconsultingagency.com. That's tailored, T-A-Y-L-O-R-D. And to connect with Denise, visit livinghealthylist.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.